Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the US Senate, where the Democrats increased their majority, and Majority Leader Harry Reid pledged today that he will change the Senate rules, which he said have been abused. A longtime senior Senate staffer, Ira Shapiro, joins us. He is the author of The Last Great Senate, Courage and Statesmanship in Times of Crisis, and we'll examine how the filibuster can be reformed and how the newly re-elected president can fast-track the huge backlog of judicial appointments that have been blocked by the Republican minority. Then we'll look at the House that remains in Republican hands, although some of the more incendiary Tea Party firebrands have lost their seats. Mike Lofgren, who spent 28 years as a senior Republican staffer, the last 16 as a senior analyst on the House and Senate Budget Committee, joins us. The author of The Party is Over, How Republicans Went Crazy, Democrats Became Useless, and the Middle Class Got Shafted, we will discuss the coming showdown over the so-called fiscal cliff and next February's raising of the debt ceiling. Then finally, with the election of a lesbian to the United States Senate, gay marriage passing in Maine and Maryland, and marijuana legalized in Colorado and Washington State, the country apparently did not heed Paul Ryan's warning that Obama was putting America on a dangerous path that compromises Judeo-Christian Western civilization values. The author of When God Talks Back, Understanding the American Evangelical Relationship with God, Tanya Lerman, joins us. She is both a psychologist and an anthropologist, and we will discuss how much yesterday's election was a watershed with the apparent waning of the religious right and the possible emergence of a secular liberal majority in America. Joining us now is Ira Shapiro, an international trade lawyer in Washington, D.C. He spent 12 years in the United States Senate as counsel to the majority leader and in other senior positions where he played an important role in implementing the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the Senate Code of Ethics, and the completion of the D.C. Metro Rail System. During the Clinton administration, he earned the rank of ambassador, serving as the leading U.S. trade negotiator. His new book is The Last Great Senate, Courage and Statesmanship in Times of Crisis. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ira Shapiro.
Thank you, Ian. It's great to be with you.
And Harry Reid, who is a former boxer, came out today and said, it's better to dance than to fight. But he also said that we're not going to be pushed around anymore. So in these mixed signals about wanting to work with the Republican minority at the same time wanting to deal with their usurpation of power versus the filibuster, what did you take out of his speech warning today?
Well, I think a lot of things get said in the exciting day after an election, particularly one of this consequence. I think it's important, Ian, to remember just how remarkable the Senate elections actually were. A short time ago, several months ago, it seemed the Republicans were sure to take over the Senate because the Democrats were defending so many of the seats. 23 out of 33 were in Democratic hands. And the Republicans looked like they could take the majority. It didn't happen. They not only didn't take the majority, but the Democrats actually gained ground. In the 11 races that were the most hotly contested, the Democrats won 9 of them. They won all over the country. And John Cornyn, who's the senator from Texas, who headed the Republican Senate campaign committee, said, basically, we need to think about this because all wings of our party lost. So Harry Reid is looking at a remarkable result with a strong and strengthened Senate majority. But that doesn't necessarily tell you where things are going to go from here.
Well, I suppose, though, conversely, Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, he was actually, I don't think he was particularly gracious in his remarks. He was kind of churlish.
Well, I'm struggling to remember the last time Senator McConnell was gracious about anything.
Okay. Well, I mean, point taken.
The fact is that one important takeaway from this election, and I'm a Democrat, so I'm partisan, but I'm also something of a political historian about the Senate. One important takeaway from this election is I think the country voted against the Republican strategy of obstruction in the Senate. The Republicans used the Senate to obstruct President Obama's legislation and President Obama's nominations. The country has said no to that kind of obstruction. McConnell was the epitome of the obstruction. And so I think that he and the Republicans are going to be under a great deal of pressure to be more cooperative. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to should agree or will agree with President Obama on everything. But I think they're going to have a hard time with the type of going back to the same kind of obstruction that got them this defeat.
So we could talk about, and I want to talk about, the enormous backlog of judicial nominees that have been held up. President Obama is way behind his predecessors, Clinton and Carter, in terms of the judiciary that he's managed to get appointed. And that is why the U.S. judiciary, including the Supreme Court, has moved so far to the right over the decades. And there's obviously a lot of redress is necessary there. But just to back to Harry Reid, what he's saying is that the first thing is the most important thing, to do away with the motion to proceed. Just do away with it. I favor the filibuster. There's a reason for the filibuster. I understand it. It's to protect the rights of the minority. So what's he saying there?
Well, what he's saying is that I think that historically the filibuster protects the rights of the minority party. But it was used in cases that were relatively rare, major cases, major issues. At one time, fewer than 10% of legislative bills were filibustered. Now the filibuster is routine. And we saw hundreds of filibusters, and he's expressing frustration about that, and it's understandable. What he's saying is, the first thing is, there should only be, if there's going to be a filibuster, you shouldn't be able to filibuster the motion to actually take up the legislation. At the present time, you can filibuster the motion to take up the legislation. Then you get 60 votes, you overcome that. Then there's another filibuster on the legislation. So he's saying there shouldn't be two shots at any one bill.
What about putting some skin in the game, going back to the classic movie, Mr. Smith Comes to Washington, where you actually have to stand up and hold up the business to really make your point?
I would favor putting some skin back in the game. I think that Senator Reid was obviously very concerned about the calendar and tying up the Senate, but I think the failure to call the Republicans on the filibusters allowed them to simply filibuster just by indicating they were going to. I think I would have called them to the floor and made them filibuster and held them accountable for what they were doing.
So, again, I'm speaking with Ira Shapiro, who spent 12 years in the United States Senators Council to the Majority Leader and other senior positions where he played an important role in implementing the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the Senate Code of Ethics, and the completion of the D.C. Metro Rail System. His latest book is The Last Great Senate, Courage and Statesmanship in Times of Crisis. So, I guess the real issue here is whether the Senate can change the rules by the majority, which they have. They've increased their majority, or whether they have to have the supermajority to change the rules. And, of course, that makes it impossible, doesn't it? So what's likely to happen here with these pronouncements of Harry Reid's?
Well, this is a debate that we have periodically of whether to resort to what's been called the nuclear option, whereby the Senate moves to change rules by a majority vote as opposed to actually two-thirds that you need to change the rules routinely. There's a high price to be paid for going to the nuclear option. And I think that traditionally what happens in these situations when you actually do get rules changes, it's when you work something out that appeals to more than the majority of the senators. I think that this is actually a moment when many of the senators, Democratic and Republican, share the public's anger and frustration about what the Senate has become. I believe that you actually could accomplish some of these rules changes by enlisting essentially all the Democrats and a considerable, almost all the Democrats and a considerable number of the Republicans. But that remains to be proven. If you try to change the rules by simply a majority, I think it will backfire.
So what's the president going to do and Harry Reid going to do to get the judiciary in more balanced? You know, the courts are dominated by conservative, pro-corporatist judges who the Republicans have put in. And there was a very good judge out here in California that they tried to get through, and he had absolutely perfect qualifications. But the Republicans, because they were mad at this guy for testifying against Sam Alito, and apparently Alito was also mad at him, they just filibustered him out of vengeance.
I'm a strong supporter of President Obama, but I don't think that we, in the first term, that the president pushed hard enough on the judicial nominations. President Bush and some of his Republican predecessors gave a very high priority to judicial nominations. And I think that President Obama, who's a constitutional lawyer and knows the importance of these issues, needs to do the same thing. I think he needs to make public the opposition that he's getting, and I think he needs to hold the Republicans' feet to the fire. If they want to vote down a nomination, that's one thing, but they shouldn't be allowed to kill it by just leaving it in committee. Now, the truth is, their obstruction of his executive branch nominations has actually been even worse than their judicial nominations. But in both cases, the president should be able to get his appointments voted on up or down within a reasonable period of time.
Why doesn't the president put a marker down now that he's won this substantial re-election and basically say, you know, this is leftover business from the last term. You guys have been screwing with me from day one. We're not going to even do any business until we get clear up this backlog. What about that as a tactic?
Well, I think the president and the people around him are undoubtedly sorting through what their priorities are going to be in the lame duck session and in the upcoming session. I believe that he's likely to be very strong on judicial nominations. But I think at the moment, the first thing he's thinking about is an issue you're going to discuss with one of the other people you interview, namely the fiscal cliff and how to avoid it.
Well, indeed, that's what we're going to be doing next. But I still wonder, though, whether, you know, when you get a re-election, I remember George W. Bush said he had a mandate and he wanted to do everything, and he put all his eggs in one basket with privatizing Social Security and went nowhere.
Got nothing, right.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm just afraid that somehow the president's going to go on to a whole new agenda and not take care of what should have been taken care of in the last 4 years, which is his own appointments and the judicial nominees that, you know, have been languishing.
Well, this is a moment, for me, this is a moment of real optimism because of the outcome of the election and the presidential election and the Senate elections. I think that the president is going to have a number of important priorities, and I expect that getting his judicial nominations acted on will be one of them.
So what's your overall sense then of what's going to happen in the Senate? Do you think McConnell's days are numbered? I mean, Cornyn is much more reasonable. I don't know how much the Republicans recognize that they're drubbing. They're not a party that believes in facts and reality so much anymore. But they've got to be still some pragmatists and realists left in the Republican Party, surely.
Well, I think you put it well, Ian. And I think that while they have shown certain reluctance to deal with facts and science, they know something about political victory and political defeat. I think they'll absorb the lesson of this defeat, and I think it will have some effect on their going forward. From my standpoint, as somebody who really believes the Senate needs to be restored, if not what I would call the next great Senate, at least a respectable Senate. I think we could do a lot better with new leaders on both sides. McConnell is a particular problem because he has raised obstruction to an art form. But I think another pair of leaders could make the Senate work quite a bit better.
And I guess the same applies in the House. People are wondering whether Nancy Pelosi could possibly be reelected after two defeats. So that's something also
to
look at.
I'm not as close
sure.
to the House and haven't been studying it. I gather, you know, Nancy Pelosi, the former Speaker and now the House Democratic leader, she's regarded as considering her options. Right. There's a great deal of loyalty to her among the House Democrats, and there's certainly a great deal of loyalty to Harry Reid among the Senate Democrats.
I think
the most important thing is making these institutions work and
sure.
producing for the American people.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Ira Shapiro. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ian. Take care.
Again, I've been speaking with Ira Shapiro, an international trade lawyer in Washington, D.C. He spent 12 years in the United States Senate as counsel to the majority leader and in other senior positions where he played an important role in implementing the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the Senate Code of Ethics, and the completion of the D.C. Metro Rail System. During the Clinton administration, he earned the rank of ambassador, serving as leading U.S. trade negotiator. And his new book is The Last Great Senate, Courage and Statesmanship in Times of Crisis. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the House elections and this coming showdown over the so-called fiscal cliff.
Pushing me.